In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Second conference starts with point five, and that's the martyrs. History does not know of any more astonishing feats than those of the holy martyrs who went to die for their Redeemer with elation and with a song on their lips. Their courage and readiness to endure any kind of torture have often dismayed their readiness to torments, so that the later were compelled to wonder aloud, what is this new teaching which makes our victims joyous even amidst the deepest sorrows? What is this force which makes them love even the sufferings? What is this new and unknown God who inspires them to such courage that they not only do not flee from death, but even desire it? Indeed, all this was extraordinary in the eyes of the pagans. Their braves and warriors could also be fearless in the face of the death. Yet, to desire death as a blessing greater than life, as a door through which one goes to God, as the Holy Apostle St. Paul desired in his letter to the Philippians, this was terrifying and incomprehensible for the non-Christians. They could not understand the new teaching, according to which the grave is not the end of life. The grave is not the end of life, but a shelter from death. Just as much as this was unusual for the pagans, it was natural for the Christians, whose surprising courage came from this God-revealed truth. End this quote. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the death and the living. St. Paul, Romans 14. He is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. St. Luke chapter 20. Death was filled with darkness and hopelessness for the pagans. For even though the idea of immortality had sparkled among them too, it was not even remotely as real and joyous as the immortality which the God-man and his apostles reveal to us. For example, the Saint Apostle, Saint Paul, writes, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." First Corinthians chapter 2. That is not frightening for the faithful and the virtuous anymore, because through it one enters into the blissful beyond, where God has prepared ineffable blessings for his chosen ones. The chosen ones of God are those who have turned to God by themselves of their own free will. These chosen ones, knowing that God has deigned to make them heirs of his heavenly kingdom, and remembering the words of the apostle, which is to the Romans 8:18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Lived and died for God with joy, and endured with gladness every possible kind of short-term suffering on earth for his holy name's sake. In the same manner, Saint Seraphim of Sarov told one of the people who was spiritually close to him, "My joy, God has prepared for us such glory and bliss in heaven that if this whole room were filled with worms and they were eating our bodies and we were rotting alive, even then, we should have endured all those torments with joy because of the kingdom of heaven. All the saints have endured in this way with faith and hope in God's good providence. They were not scared by the temporary hardships which brought them closer to God, but were afraid only of sin, which tears the soul away from grace and happiness to throw it into the abyss of eternal suffering. Today, we wonder how the saints were so consistently firm in their righteousness, how they rejoiced amid suffering, how they were determined to resist to blood in their struggle against sin, and how they would prefer to die rather than transgress God's commandments. the courage, self-denial, and high virtues of the saints are insoluble mystery, are an insoluble mystery to us, because today we do not love the Lord even remotely, as ardently as they have loved him. And because we have come to love sin in place of the Lord. If one has tasted and seen how gracious the Lord, said Saint Peter in his letter, he will leave everything else and constantly with the insatiable thirst strive towards this gracious spring of infinite happiness. Love towards God is a great power. In the ordinary sinful human passions are able to make a man forget all dangers and sufferings for no other reason but the satisfaction of his sinful thirst than what heavenly strength can come over those who are burning with seraph's love for God. For instance, the man enveloped by the passion for riches stays up whole nights thinking how to increase his riches. You remember from the gospel, right? Undertakes long and dangerous journeys across seas and mountains, suffers threats and fumes, and endures all his heroical in the name of Mammon. The man whose morbid sense of pride has been hurt wonders how to avenge himself. He is ready to demand a duel, even with the risk of dying. The man with a passion for fornicates knows that he will pay with his soul for his deadly sin, but he ready to undergo eternal torment if he could only satisfy his sinful lust. If even these earthly sinful passions can overcome the fear of suffering, then could not love for God drive away faint-heartedness in the face of temporary sorrows? All saints have anticipated going to the kingdom of heaven, have believed deeply in God. And in this faith have found the strength to rise above their human feebleness and to be empowered in the difficult exploit of the virtues. Their weakness and sinful inclinations were withered in the shadow of grace, like grass over which a thick and mighty forest, intertwined its branches, and the comforts sent by God gave them wings to fly up closer to Him. While still in this life, they received a foretaste of paradisiacal joys through their closeness to God, bearing according to the words of Christ, the kingdom of God within themselves. They considered temporary sufferings to be insignificant. They did not give in to murmuring, anger, revenge, or some other impure passion, but with the guiding help of God's grace, considered carefully in every moment how to conduct themselves so as to fulfill God's will. They preserved a marvelous peace, even during the most powerful temptations, controlled their feelings, thoughts, and desires, and aimed all their spiritual powers towards virtue. Saint Seraphim of Sarov was once attacked by thieves. They had come into the woods to rob his little desert hut, thinking that they would find much money in it. After they ransacked the whole hut without finding anything, there were enraged and beat the saints so badly that he barely survived. After this beating, he walked bent over for the rest of his life. But even amid this heavy suffering, Saint Seraphim did not stray from God's path. When the thieves were captured, he pleaded with the authorities with great persistence and tears, not to punish them because of him, a sinner.